It's Tuesday evening, June 7th.
Lord, we ask for your ask for your light, that you would light up your word for us tonight, Lord, that we would be able to speak your truths, that we would have ears for your truth, and Lord, that you would grant us power. It was good praying to Papa here tonight.
Amen.
That was good.
Yes.
Your power was there. And Lord, we ask that that be available to us on a consistent basis. And Lord, if there is some kind of work that has to be done in us before we would not be overcome by pride or whatever, do that work. Do that work. But Lord, we want to be able to minister what you want ministered. We want to be able to minister that in power.
Amen.
In truth.
Amen.
And in power, Lord. Amen.
Make us those useful vessels.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
One quick little thing. I was listening, and I don't know if I ever heard it before or whatever, but when Jesus was telling the Pharisees, you know, that this woman who had been ill for, you know, he said, and you don't think that it's right to heal her on the Sabbath, the one that Satan has bound for all these years? And I thought, how did he get to do that? She just seemed like a righteous woman. I mean, she came to him for one, but I mean, I just thought it was interesting how does he get the right to do that, you know? Or it's just funny. But it could have been simply because for that time, so that Jesus could heal her and be an example to all them people.
It was the one that was bowed over.
Yeah, the one that was bowed over, not the one that was bleeding, the one that was bowed over.
Yeah.
I never picked up on that when he said that Satan has bound for all these years. You know?
Uh-huh. Oh, we had that kind of access, huh? Yeah.
And so, for whatever reason he may have gotten there, Jesus didn't address that. He just healed her. You know? He said, why shouldn't I?
There's an interesting...
It wasn't a deliverance either, one thing.
Yeah.
There's an interesting statement that Jesus made. He says, man was not made for the Sabbath.
Right.
The Sabbath was made for man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a church thought pattern. You know, it's like, well, we can't do this, we can't do that, whatever. You know, if God sets somebody up to do something, they got to do it. He knows if it's legal or not.
Okay.
Yeah, if you do it, you're going to find out what the whale looks like inside.
Well, I always remember the setting where he healed someone on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees came after him, and he said, "Who among you, if your ox fallen in the hole, would wait till tomorrow to take care of this?"
Mm-hmm.
And we all knew that they would have done everything they could to get their ox out safely. And so he was trying to point out to them that they're just hypocrites in the way they were applying even their own rules.
Yeah. And I think the book of Leviticus, you know, whatever, the Pentateuch, specifically permitted all those things. You know, yeah, if there's some emergency with your animal, then you can go ahead and do that on, you know, get that squared away on the Sabbath. You know, he's...
And I think in that same setting I just brought up, he said, you don't think it's wrong to take your oxen and water them, you know, on the Sabbath? Why should not I? Ta-da-ta-da, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. A little hard to argue with that.
I just happened to... look at something, and we were talking about that he would give us authority and whatever. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and diseases.
Mm.
Over all demons and to cure diseases. That's when he sent them out. It's kind of an interesting thing, isn't it?
All demons and all diseases, huh?
So, Lord, make us right for that authority.
That's right, yeah.
Like you said, Charlie, what you prayed there.
It's not that we never felt that before, but I've been feeling it.
I have an excitement about that, because in the past, anything that I would have felt like that, I would have been doing blindly and not in accordance with what God's will really was.
Pop off.
I would have been just doing what I felt was right. And I and we all are so much more grounded in His Word that to be able to do His will with that power is exciting.
Do you recognize it?
Yeah. I mean, back in the day I felt good. Now I want to feel good. I mean, God wants me to feel good. Mm. And there's no me in that. It's all in God's will.
A lot of the practices that the Jews had were personal traditions. And Jesus said, you have made the word of God of no effect by your traditions. And so...
Well, I agree with that. That's all true. I'm not trying to give the prior quirky a pass to the way he behaved and the way he twisted things. You know, so I can be Brian Company and the tip of the spear and show every other person the true and only way to God based on what I knew and he felt. plenty for me to be humble and repent for.
You look at churches today, and they have so many practices and traditions and things that are nowhere upon in the scriptures. And when Herbert Marcuse, he's a Lutheran minister filled with the Holy Spirit, and he had healing lines, and people came from all over to pray for him, somewhere in Minnesota. And when he prayed for that woman that one day that was had died, and she came back to life, they removed it from the pulpit. It's like, on what basis? No scriptural basis. It had to be a church problem.
Well, it certainly was not business as usual.
No. So, he was having trouble because people were being healed. But after that happened, he said, we've got to be quiet because he says, this would be the straw. And it was. 100 ministers were in a meeting, and they voted 100-0 to remove him from the pulpit.
That's probably, how can there be 100 of them and not one of them see something?
You know what?
You know?
But it also shows a kind of humanity. Even if, you know,
stick together.
Even if some of them did think differently, they would say so.
Yeah, that's the pack mentality, kind of like what goes on today when someone decides that someone needs to be made an example and people come out of the woodwork to pile on.
Yep.
It's just like they rose up against Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, see, I wonder if they did a silent vote. I mean, even Nicodemus, who recognized Jesus for who he is, made sure none of the other Pharisees knew that he knew, or would admit it. He came under
a half-hearted defense that he would make.
Well, I'm not saying it. He knew it, but he certainly wasn't going to open himself up to criticism from the group. So, I mean, thinking if that was a public vote, so here's the deal. You can either vote with us or you can lose your church at the same time. It's up to you.
Lose your standing.
So, I'm hoping that there were cowards in that group of 100, not people who didn't see the light. Either
way. Satan can get in there and put in a lot of fear, can't he?
Mm-hmm.
Even in the church.
Yeah. But when Nicodemus came to Jesus And he was asking some questions, and Jesus said, "How is it that you, being a ruler, don't know this? You know, how can you not know these things?" And I don't know that I went before that I knew it either, but it's like he was expected to as a ruler, you know.
I gotta run, go get you.
So-called leaders that they didn't have it all figured out. And by not having it better understood, they were leading people astray.
Well, they were teaching the law at that point, weren't they? Mainly.
It's talked about often, but I didn't think about it. But I mean, he was preaching in their synagogues. I mean, he was bringing light that just wasn't getting through. I mean, there's one or two passages like, you know, how do we deal with this? Because we can't say he's not who he says he is, because if many people believe, then he says, but if many people believe, then how are we going to maintain our position? And so they were going back and forth. It's like, we got this problem. My dad used to say, on the horns of a dilemma. I don't have many particular scripture, but I'm still being impacted by Sunday morning. And the prayers, and Pablo's reaction to the prayers. Just get a sense of, as you kind of look through and pray, that the gifts are close.
Mm-hmm.
Now, close to God could be 1,000 years,
right.
But it just seems like things are a little more aligned.
Starting to move?
Yeah. Well, I always get excited when someone's sharing something and someone says, that's exactly what God gave me.
Yeah.
We've had that happen. multiple times. Confirming deliverances, people are saying they want to be baptized. I mean, there's some stirring of the spirit going on, to be sure.
You're the only one in that pouch now. You got to put forth from over there, from that side.
I'm sorry to leave for good. Where is for the night?
Is he coming back?
Probably. He's got to go pick Gene up, which I think is in a flare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think he's coming back.
He's a trip and so
he looks comfy. Well, I think the times are showing us that we better start getting ready. It's getting very, very dire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The day doesn't go by that you don't hear of something that distresses you or makes you see Satan at work, you know?
I went to pick up Susan after the ladies' prayer group, and one of the ladies said to me, "So what's going on in the world?" And she just, in the last 12 hours.
Okay.
It was basically what she was saying. I said, "Well, you know, I haven't looked. I don't know." So I pulled up my phone and couldn't find. I said, "Well, hasn't been any mass shootings. There's a little bit of a lot of fluff stuff. I said, nothing. I'm just going along.
Except the gas prices got off again."
Yeah. I think that's going to happen every week.
Yeah. Just enough to where I don't want to hear or read anymore for that period, mm-hmm. for a day or whatever. You know, just little glimpses here and there, but I don't dwell on anything.
And the same mistakes are being made. You know, why did this person do that? You know, why did we let him by again? And you know, why don't we recognize that the guy had a demon?
Yeah.
People who are crazy probably have a demon. You know, it's you know, you keep trying to explain it away this way, and that's not the way.
You know, people are testing me here. I'm standing in front of their phone about every night. That's good enough words for it. All of a sudden, hit me.
That's not a good statement to say. Because I realize whatever I'm doing is for the Lord. And I'm telling the Lord, this is not good enough for you. Well,
it
probably
isn't.
Ain't good enough for him, but you know, you're saying that that's good enough for who it is, but it's not good enough for who it's for. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, I got to quit saying that. You know,
hold up a little short
length. Yeah. 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 Yeah, it's not for me. Well, this is for the to-do. It's supposed to be for the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. All those little things we say, don't realize what we're saying.
We just don't know, right? So we kind of really have to pay attention again. Always be thinking of things with an open heart so that, you know, the chance encounter with a person that you can say an encouraging word or helps them through a difficult moment that could actually be the catalyst that turns their life. You know, when the Lord's using you, you have no idea that He's using you. I mean, it wasn't like a fire brimstone, and then, you know, there's a massive deliverance right there on the spot. It's like, thank you for opening the door. You just don't know the ripple effects.
My daughter is having a rough time a couple days ago, and she messaged me, and I was looking for it, I can't find it, but she said, Mom, can you say a little prayer for me? And I thought, a little prayer? You don't know your mother very well, do you? But, so I sent her a big, long thing, you know, people were calling her a loser and this and that. And I said, you don't need to accept that. You know, and I kind of ministered to her in a text. And then I thought, after I finished it, I thought, you know what? I should pray right here in the text. So I sent her a prayer, and she sent it back to me, and she said, Mom, thank you. I am going to read this prayer every morning I get up, and I'm going to pray it every night I go to bed.
Cool.
And I thought, huh? Cool. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, the Lord's beginning, I think, to use even technology and anything that's out there for us. It's available. We need to use it.
When it works.
Yeah, when it works, yeah. The internet's been down all day. In our couple days, it's been down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it kind of encouraged me that she could at least come to me and ask.
Oh, sure.
You know.
Yeah. It's easy to get discouraged.
Yes.
But, we were talking, Paulson was going to be in our building, but someone had a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who was active spiritually, in other words, on the right side of the coin. And I was sharing with the guys, I said, I'll take that as a plus.
Yes.
If the enemy is uncomfortable to be where we're trying to worship, not that we're anybody, but we've got to be doing something a little bit.
Yes.
And I'm encouraged at that. My mom, who is not very strong spiritually at all, I mean, she's a non-practicing Catholic, but over the last 30 years plus I've been going here, we would say things like, we'll mention in our church will pray for this. And a lot of good results. And it, you know, took about the fourth or fifth time, and all of a sudden she's witnessing to the rest of my family going, Gordon and Susan's church is praying about this? Count on it. Because God listens to them. You know?
It's like,
there's like 10 things wrong in that, but at the other hand, you go, There's faith that's being exhibited, and I had nothing to do with it. I'm just saying, Mom, we'll just pray about it. Or we'll pray about it in church. And you've got to go, okay.
It's a seed planted.
Yep.
A lot of people over the years have had a lot of confidence in Joanne's prayers.
Well, and I've had friends say to me, I tell them, I'll pray for you. And they say, thank you, because I know you will.
Yeah.
A lot of people will say, I'll pray for you, and they say, don't even think about saying a prayer, you know. But they have commented that they know I will pray.
Yeah.
If I say, I will pray, I will.
And you find people seek you out.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
People are, they need prayer, they need something going on.
Mm-hmm.
Not teams are wonderful.
No.
They have confidence and they go, I know your prayer warrior. Because I know you and I know your testimony. So.
Yeah. So God is doing work in all of us, I think. Good work.
It seems kind of like things are going slow, but in reality, we can't look at it that way. Because things go at the speed that God wants it to. And I am expecting some mighty things to happen, and not necessarily people being healed. But I think one of the most major things that has ever happened to us is the revelation of the humanity of Christ. And I have looked looked at that a lot lately, and I thought there are a lot of people that see him as a man, and when they get all through, they call it the Trinity. You know, and Don Burnett, I won't delve into that or anything, but he saw Jesus as both as fully God and fully man, and that's not, there's no scriptures to prove that. It said that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Do you know what the next word is? But. And then it says what he said. But. He discovered, or whatever, he saw that he was a man, and he became obedient to the cross, and was he equal to God? He wasn't God, but was he equal to God? God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Was he equal to God? He wasn't God, but he was not equal to God as God. But he was equal to God as God's Son. And in a certain sense, so are the rest of us. But I started looking at the scriptures. The one that we have that Corky and Susan and some put together, and it says that, you know, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. It says the man Christ Jesus repeatedly, over and over and over and over. And there's a lot of people that believe that Jesus is a man. Leroy Matthews. Do you know why? Because he's been listening to the scriptures daily. And you can't listen to the scriptures and not see him as a man. It has not yet appeared what we shall be. But when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's a scripture in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It says that Christ, you know, it says Christ the first fruits, than those that are his at his coming. He was the first fruits of the kingdom. Then those that are his at his coming are next. And it's like there's not any scriptures that make him anything except a man. And Peter said, Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And they, not one time did they ever say, nobody says that you're God or whatever. And he said, and Peter says, you're the Christ. The Christ meaning the anointed man.
The Christ of God. Of God.
Huh?
The Christ of God.
The Christ of God, yeah.
That's in Luke. You know, I hope this is not changing the subject too much. You know how we spoke about how much did he know at one time and then not know or whatever? Mm-hmm. Well, I just was reading this. This is right below after Peter answered that. Of course, he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one. Then saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. This is only in chapter 9 of Luke. You know, Luke's what? There's quite a few chapters. And some of them are very long, you know. So it's like, he knew way back, you know. But then, you know, it's like we said, but being a man, he could also lose that sometimes. Or God withdrew it somewhat.
Maybe you could look at it like the natural man in Christ goes, I know the plan, but I'm open to alternatives. I think that was kind of where that was. You could go, okay, I know you got the plan, but maybe you can see a way to doing this differently. Because then, because they came back, nevertheless.
Let's see. There's another little statement down at the end of where that was. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him, the Son of Man, will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory. Now, this is the part. When he comes in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels.
What verse is that?
That's 9:26. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. I don't think you'd be saying it quite like that if you were God the Son.
I appreciate listening to the scriptures all night. Because it gives me an insight into some of the things that we're starting to see. And the makeup of Christ is one of them. It's a constant input of who he is.
Yeah, you hear it all through the scriptures.
Yeah. But it's also in the Old Testament.
You're actually comfortable sitting like that?
I guess I am.
You must be. It doesn't look comfortable, but you know, like, isn't you having a hard time holding your head?
That's what Candy says too.
You stuck the landing a little short.
I sleep with my feet way in the air. And it has really made a difference in my legs and my feet. And my feet were, they kept on being swollen, but they're flat now. And I didn't know I could do that. I thought I'd it would do something to my system, but it doesn't.
Ken, it was really good what you brought. I mean, he knew the future and told the future and said, look, they're going to kill me. And he said, the leaders are going to have to take him down. And yet, we kind of wonder a little bit later on when he's on the cross going, so he indicated he knew he was going to die and rise again. But I said, I really don't want to have to prove that.
Here's this one little thing where somebody could possibly use. It's in, still in chapter 9 of Luke. In 42, no, 43. Well, I'll read 42 because it's about a deliverance. And as he was still coming, the demon, this is bring your son here, but. And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Then Jesus, this I thought was interesting too. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to his father. He rebuked the spirit and healed the child. And they were all amazed at the majesty of God. See, so a lot of people go, oh, see, he's God. But while everyone marveled at all the things that Jesus did, he said to the disciples, let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men.
I realized one day here about the incident with the man in the tubers. Jesus told him, he says, go tell your neighbors, your friends, your family, what the Lord has done. And it says that he went and told everybody what Jesus had done. You know what? Jesus was the Lord.
Well, yeah, the Lord Jesus.
We think to go tell him what God has done. Not necessarily. God made him, the same Jesus that you crucified, both Lord and Christ.
He glorified him.
There's another scripture, like, because this one says the majesty of God. Well, you know, it's kind of like, there's another one that says, and they glorified God that God had given such power to a man. You know, so that's how it kind of, that one kind of makes this like, well, yeah, they were glorifying God, that this man was doing what he was doing.
It certainly, they seem to come in and out of understanding a lot, right? It's like, on one hand, they talk about, they can see the glory of God in him and understand, and Jesus tells them the promise, that promise is available to you, and so then they see that and actually get excited, yet other times they go like, come on.
Actually, I was referring to people that want to defend the training.
Oh!
I didn't say that. That's what I was referring to when I say, well, some will use this as a reason for the Trinity, because it looks like they're saying Jesus did something and he was, and it was the majesty of God.
Yeah, they were all amazed at the mighty power of God.
Right.
And then saying godly power, and saying, well, he's a God, look at the power of God. And you know, we would go, well, no. We know that Jesus had nothing except what God gave us.
Right.
So, I mean, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm just saying that, but it's that's one little scripture that doesn't stand very good against hundreds of others.
To say one way to try and win that in there.
It's how they interpret it.
Well, yeah, that's the way they would interpret it. That meant it was God. No, it doesn't. Just meant they said they were amazed at the majesty of God.
Well, the mighty power and chaos.
Right.
The mighty power. So they recognize those God's power. And then to infer that God can't give that to someone kind of limits what God can do. So, but yet, it's things like that without the Spirit,
that's
enough of a bump in the road to keep you from really seeing the light.
Because of doctrinal beliefs, like the book of John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. If you believe that Jesus was the Word, and He was. But anyway, if you believe that, then you could say Jesus was with God and Jesus was God. You know what I mean? If you get that permission in your mind, and I have my questions as to exactly how all of that fits, because it's, I think in verse 14 it says that in the Word was made flesh and became flesh, and it's hard to see a day old baby as the Word of God. you know what I'm saying? And he grew and matured and became the Word. So when it says the Word was made flesh,
I think that you think it would be way off to say, and the Word was manifested through flesh.
Well, it said God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself.
Yeah.
And has given to us the message of reconciliation.
You know, having the revelation that you can only receive it by the Holy Spirit has made it a lot easier for me not to get all riled up about what people, what they think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, if you don't receive this revelation, you won't receive any other revelations. You know?
Yeah, I had, well, basically, because I was kind of one of Don Burnett's favorite books was Thompson Chain. And Frank Thompson was a staunch Trinitarian. And if you ever had a Thompson Chain, everything that he could think of, he labeled as a Trinity.
Yeah, I have one. I don't use it anymore.
No, after a while. I got so I couldn't, I didn't want to use it.
Yeah.
Because it's misleading. A man's doctrinal viewpoints can affect you. And they do. And I would have never been able to, from the Thompson Chain, to realize the humanity of Christ.
You might have. Actually, I don't think you could.
I don't think you want to say that. that's putting a limit on God.
We said that no matter what translation, there's a certain veins of truth in all of it that God uses that doesn't change. You
if you can ignore his additions,
his references. Yeah. Not,
yeah. I mean,
but yeah.
I was brought up in a Lutheran church like you were.
Yeah.
Totally. And I remember thinking, well, of course Jesus could die on the cross and be raised from the dead. He was God. I thought he was God when he died on the cross. Until I got the revelation that he was not God on the cross. He was a man. And then I said, of course that's how our sins are paid for. God didn't pay for our sins.
God can't die.
No. And I, even though it was, you know, I came up in the Lutheran church, I believe the Holy Spirit revealed that to me. Because I was a strong Lutheran. I mean,
so
if you were Catholic, you were going to hell, is what I believed. That's what I was taught.
That's okay. That's the Catholic song of the Lutheran.
And then I realized that Martin Luther is the one that founded the Lutheran church, which was Catholic. So it just, through my years of being born again as a young child and becoming born again as an adult and everything that I've gone through in my life, and just throwing it all away and saying, Lord, whatever, just teach me. And I think that's what has happened in my life. The Holy Spirit's teaching me.
Did you ever go to the Good Shepherd?
That was my grandparents' land that built that Good Shepherd.
Oh, yeah. Remember you told me.
Alders, yes. That was my grandma and grandpa Alders.
Well,
because my grandfather had had a heart attack, and grandma would take him in the wheelchair over to the church. She donated the land so they could build a church so she could take him over to church there. Yeah. Pastor Higgy, was it?
Yeah, Edmund Higgy.
I only went there a couple times myself. Yeah.
He was interested.
Yeah, he was.
But not necessarily spiritual.
Right.
And of course, I did. I wouldn't have gone in those days anyway. But he made a statement one time, and it was something I never forgot. You know, he said that the safety of being a churchgoer. He says, if you find out in the end that there is no God, it's good. But he says, then if you find out there is a God, then it's
recovered.
Recovered. It's a terrible, terrible thing as I thought about it. Is that faith? No. And when he found out that Joanne and I had got filled with the Holy Spirit, Ray Glennon was still going there. And he told me, he said, they just got something from the devil. And Ray thought about it, he says, I don't think so. And he, later on, he got filled with the Holy Spirit.
It is, really dangerous if you are going to stake your eternal life on the doctrine of the church versus the Word of God. And, you know, I went in sharing something, and it occurred to me, you know, once you start following this, then it kind of cuts away a lot of this. I need to be out on the all the sides preaching to someone, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that, and in accordance with what you were brought up, and try and show them, well, you know, if you don't do this, then you're lost. And it's not what the good book says. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But those that really study it know what it means this.
Yeah.
And I trust them over this.
even better was, and I trust their faith and trying to understand this over my lukewarm attempt at trying to know God, which is me. It's like, okay, I have to learn it in the shepherd.
One of the things that has been a real blessing to me is the addition of a lot of voices. And it's like you don't have to believe everything that everybody says. But as the voices come, as you hear from God, and you do, and you get, it gets better all the time, and as you hear, it increases your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and that of the Word of God. It increases your faith, but it does something to your soul. I have realized an awful lot of things lately. I love to be to sleep and hear the scriptures on. And I couldn't do it before because they would keep me awake. But now I could be wake up in the night and start praying, and the next thing I know, it's a couple hours later. It's like I'm ready to. I know what happens, you know. But I'm wondering, not that this has to be, but I'm wondering if this time we have should not maybe be over at the church instead of at this at the house. For the sake of maybe having some new people come. I don't know. I mean, you guys think about it. I don't care.
He's asking us to give way to meeting at church instead of meeting here.
On Tuesday night.
Oh.
Because then more people might feel more comfortable to come.
Yeah, We started out, not that this is anything, but we started out with, we had services in our house, and they had Don Burnett came, and, you know, we went to his house, then we went to Scott Hartley's, kind of his basement, or garage, and then we went to Calvin Dean's basement.
And Stephen Sue's house. Paulson's.
Pardon?
You went to see Steve and Sue Paulson's house too, because that's where I was introduced to you. You don't remember that?
No, he was talking about how they started in Seattle.
Oh, in Seattle. Mm. I thought he meant here.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Well, the reason we meet here is to be
Did you ever go to the Little White Church?
Yes, that's where I started going. And Stardust Drive.
He feels like he, you know, it's up to him in that regard.
Well, I'm afraid I don't know if there's we're not. I'm not opposed to doing that.
Well, we would think about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? Charlie, is that coming back?
No.
Jean okay?
Yes.
Oh.
She's.
She was at some at a function that he had to pick her up.
Oh.
We can probably wrap
this
up. Yeah. We love you all.